Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
There was a time, Michaela Gordon, when this theme song right here, this music, really elicited a feeling of excitement and joy in me.
Oh.
Because I knew I was watching something made up, something fictional. House of Cards, not that long ago, seemed like a million miles away. Like some dystopian future that we could possibly, potentially, worst case scenario, live in someday. Yet here we are. And I'm looking back, and now I look at it differently. Now I look back as if it's almost like an episode of Full House, as opposed to House of Cards. Like, I yearn for the days when fictional presidents only had girls pushed in front of subway trains and hid it from America.
Yeah.
Because right now, nothing is being hidden from America. We're seeing it all play out live in front of us every single day. Our country's wild right now. We're like an episode of Girls Gone Wild. But it's all men. It's all old, white men.
Do you remember Girls Gone Wild?
Of course I do.
Do you remember the... I will just say this. For me, as a lesbian, when I saw those commercials, I was like...
Lesbian!
Thank you so much. I was like, I gotta get that. I gotta get that tape.
Well, that was...
I gotta get the tape.
Girls Gone Wild came out of that era of like MTV Spring Breaks. They were iconic. Justin, our producer, and I were talking about this the other day.
What was the guy's name again that ran it? Joe?
Oh, Joe something.
Oh.
What's he doing
now?
Because I feel like he got in trouble.
Probably in prison.
Yeah, I think he is.
That whole entire era of Spring Break MTV was just so problematic. But what is it?
Joe Francis.
Francis, of course.
Joe Francis.
But the current era of our political reality is even more wild.
Yeah.
Donald Trump still not conceding. Mitch McConnell standing behind him. You know, Mike Pompeo saying, we shared that audio yesterday. I don't want to share it again. It's terrifying.
I love that you made America similar to Girls Gone Wild.
I made the reference. And why wouldn't I? It's 6:06 a.m. here in the West Coast. So that seems like where we are on this Thursday in
November. I still
want
to know what happened to Mitch McConnell's hands. I was getting my hair done yesterday at the salon, and I was talking to my dear friend, who's also my hairstylist, and we were just like talking, and he said, Mitch McConnell really hasn't said much, really hasn't congratulated Biden. Like, what's going on with him? Where is he? And I said, I don't know. I think he's in the mob, because have you seen his hands and his mouth? And I proceeded to pull up the hands and mouth. Nobody ever said anything about Mitch McConnell's hands and mouth. And clearly they were beaten with a hammer.
Listen, I feel 100% certain in this allegation that I'm going to put forth right now. At some point, Mitch McConnell was duct taped to a chair in a dark room somewhere.
Listen to me.
I don't know.
Feel like I'm watching Casino.
What's the other
and
explanation?
And they literally got him.
Yes.
Goodfellas.
Yes.
Do you let him sit? They
yes.
were like, here it is. And you know, Trump has been equated to the Godfather thanks to Anthony Fauci. It's not so off the mark.
Yeah.
Justin, what really happened? Did they ever say anything?
Yeah.
I have no clue. I mean, he looks like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Did they ever say anything?
Oxygen just forgot to go to his hand for a few days.
I mean, maybe that part was just completely consumed by evil. I don't know.
It was black and blue.
But also, they didn't even try to cover it. Like, it was just like, let it be what it is. They put one little Band-Aid.
One Band-Aid.
Just one little Band-Aid.
A mini kid's Band-Aid.
Yeah.
All seriousness, he probably got an injection and they bruised him because he's old and feeble.
Probably.
Okay, that's not from an injection. I get them all the time. Thank you.
Well,
and
not,
I know
you're
what
not,
an
you're
injection
not that
is.
You're not 94
okay,
or however old he
but
is. Listen,
sometimes I look like it with that Botox.
Obviously, we kid. We hope he's totally healthy and he's fine and he's able to, you know, well, I was going to say get voted out,
son?
But that didn't happen. He got voted back in for six more years. But today's entire day will not be about politics. There will be some coronavirus sprinkled in.
Yes.
And we're kicking things off here in 15 minutes with sex ed for adults, specifically LGBTQ plus adults.
Wow. Because
you and I both went to Catholic school. The sex ed they taught me then has done nothing for my sex life.
I don't even think they taught me sex ed in Catholic school. I don't even remember it.
It was, what was it, Justin?
Well, I was going to say I went to public school, so it wasn't much better for me.
No, ours was just abstain. Yeah. We didn't talk about condoms.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was
abstain.
Like, just don't do it.
Yep,
my mother told me, I was a virgin until I was almost 20, not for like moral values. It's because my mother was like, you'll get pregnant and be a whore.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, all right, well, guess I won't have sex then.
Totally.
Ever.
When I first came out to my mom, the very first thing she thought that was I was going to get AIDS and die. To be fair, I mean, that was a genuine fear 20 years ago, especially for parents. But that's sort of what I thought, too, because I knew I was gay when I was 5 or 6. So I'd heard that dialogue for so many years. You got to think, I'm 6 years old. It's 1986.
Yeah.
So that's
birth control, so I don't know what is.
We're going to course correct on some things and then give you some pro tips from a pro who wrote a really awesome book on sex ed for LGBTQ adults. But first, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beats?
All right, guys. Well, the Trump administration is still refusing to begin the formal transition process and cooperate with Joe Biden's incoming team. So there is now a stack of messages from foreign leaders sitting at the State Department that the president-elect cannot access. A Republican senator, he's so petty.
How is that possible?
It's not even funny. It's just he's so petty. A Republican senator has said he would step in if Biden can't access the intelligence briefings by the end of the week. In the meantime, Biden named a longtime aide as his chief of staff. Though Biden has been projected the winner, there are still a few states that have not been called yet. Georgia, where Biden is leading and where two high-stakes Senate races appear headed for runoffs, will conduct an audit of the presidential race, recounting millions of ballots by hand. You know, Lisa told me yesterday she always tries to, like, keep me informed on both sides so that, like, I know kind of what's going on. And apparently, Donald Trump watermarked, did you know this, all the ballots, because he thought that the Democrats would cheat. And so everything is watermarked that's apparently like a good ballot.
Well, here's the thing. He genuinely believes he cannot lose.
Yeah.
He thinks there's no way on earth people would vote him out. And the attorney generals of these states are saying there's no voter fraud whatsoever. Michigan just came out and said these claims of dead voters voting, not true at all.
Yeah, I know. It's just wild.
But he's not challenging the vote in Texas.
Well, he's also not challenging
Ohio,
the vote where he won.
Or Florida.
Yeah,
that's
right,
what I'm saying.
Exactly.
He's not challenging the vote. Those are all perfectly valid.
Yeah.
Any reasonable thinking person sees right through that. But here we are.
Yeah, he's a wild man, honestly. All right, let's get into weather. It's going to be a high of 55 in New York today, a high of 70 in LA. It's drizzling. Oh my God, it's going to rain.
I thought it was snowing here 2 days ago. I saw it drizzle for a few moments.
Yeah, well, it was freezing. It's going to be a high of 66 in Vegas. What? 75 in Palm Springs and 84 in Houston.
I love how you just read the weather in real time and just have live reactions to it. 64 in Vegas. What?
There's like three guys in Boston that are just hating her.
Yeah,
right,
just like 9 degrees there.
I know. Listen, I know the people that live in actual cold weather hate my...
Us. They hate us.
You know what? They hate us.
All of us.
And you know what? I apologize. I apologize.
I don't.
One time I was in a fight with Lisa and I was really, really mad, but I wanted to be funny and I went, I apologize. And then she made up with me.
That's the entire story?
That's all.
Can I get my vibe?
Yep.
Okay. Please remember how incredible you are. Anything you put your mind to, you achieve.
I love that.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. Come on, Full House.
Okay, Full House.
Take us back to that era.
We'd love to see it. All right, you guys, coming up. 15 eye-opening things LGBTQ people were never taught in sex ed and how it could actually change your life. We're back in 2 minutes.
Does anybody else have a question?
I have a question. I think some of the people here might be sexually inexperienced. Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
Is that a serious question?
Steve Carell, 4-year-old virgin.
I love it.
So good. But it's actually, we laugh about the question, but it's actually a fair question. If you don't use it, do you actually, in fact, lose it?
Yeah.
And it's interesting how the conversation about sexuality has evolved over the years, but the way we're teaching children really hasn't. You and I went to Catholic school. I was taught to abstain, period.
Me too. Absolutely.
Like, Jesus is watching you all the time. The devil will strike you down.
Yeah, that's... they didn't want me to have sex with men, with men, let alone a woman. Like, that was not even a thing.
None of it. And the sex ed classes were so, so awkward.
Yeah.
Well, one person in particular is doing something about that. Her name is Ruby Rare. She's a pink-haired, non-monogamous queer who didn't teach your sex ed education classes at school, but you kind of wish she did. She has a new book out called Sex Ed, actually, A Guide for Adults. Getting back to the basics, that's basically the gist of what she's trying to do here.
Yeah.
And she actually shares that for her, she's sexually turned on by jelly.
What?
Jelly. And she says that she's realized this her entire life, but didn't quite put
jelly,
two and two
it's
together.
So sticky.
Well, she likes like the non-solid form of it, how it kind of jiggles, how it kind of
Yeah, but it's just sticky. Just get jello.
No, it's not the actual jelly that she doesn't put it on her body.
Oh.
Just visually seeing jelly turns her on. And it has her entire life, and she didn't realize it. And
okay, I want you to take... Okay, all right, take a moment.
To her, though, but this is what it represents to her, though. Jelly can be all these different colors and vibrant and beautiful, and you know that you're going to enjoy it when you eat jelly. But also the form that it takes, how it can kind of mold and shift, and it's not so tight and firm. She relates to that because her body is that way.
Give me your Uncrustable that you got upstairs and let me look at the jelly.
Listen to this.
Give it to me.
I got an Uncrustable upstairs.
I want to appreciate jelly the way that she does.
In our cafeteria, because I knew we were doing the story, and I was like, jelly sounds kind of good to me now.
Listen, I love it. I had a conversation with my hairstylist yesterday, because he does, and we should actually have her on the show. She's pretty great. She's been on Loveline a few times. Her name is, it's Sex with Emily, and she's this woman, I believe in her 40s, and she just talks sex education, like, all the time, and the questions, there's no bad question, no wrong question.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to me, and I feel like I'm pretty sexually open, but I still find myself getting uncomfortable in certain conversations, and there are questions I have that I'm nervous to ask.
Yeah.
And it's you know, totally normal and not normalized.
Yeah, I remember my ex and I years ago, who you know, was very uncomfortable with sex. He was raised Jehovah's Witness, and we walked into the Pleasure Chest one time here in West Hollywood, and our friend took us there because he's very sexually expressive, and they were having an adult class on a word I can't say on air. It sounds kind of like dodo birds, kind of like dodos, kind of sounds like that. And deep throating and dental dams. And it was an adult teaching this class to other adults, gay, straight, non-binary, everything in between. And he was so uncomfortable. And he was in his maybe 40 at the time. So uncomfortable even just seeing these sorts of things, let alone having a conversation about them. But in this book, Ruby Rare explains that humans are sexual from birth and that sex is meant to be fun for us. I remember being 6 or 7 years old the first time I had a sexual experience with another boy who was also my age. His mom and dad had gotten divorced, and he and his brother and his mother were living in our basement. We had a fully furnished basement. His mom and my mom are best friends. And they stayed with us for a summer, for about 3 months, while she got her feet, you know, back under her. And he and I would fool around all the time. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew exactly, like, I was doing the things then that I would do now just as a little
primal.
Boy.
Well, it's so primal. I mean, it's like so animalistic. I'll tell you what, I won't go into detail, but yesterday Lisa and I tried to get freaky in the shower. Turns out the shower is too small. I'm 5'2", so imagine that. Like how? I literally, at one point, the leave-in conditioner was like seeping down my face. I was drowning. And
you were getting waterboarded.
I was getting waterboarded. But then we started dying laughing, and then we laughed all day about it. And I feel like, to be honest, that is part of a sexual experience as well. Like it's connecting. It's having a good time.
She
laughing.
Talks about that in this book. She talks about how sex, sexuality, is just as much mental as it is for us physical. And we always think of being aroused as a physical reaction, especially for men, but also for women.
Yeah.
But women have been more in tune, I think, with that. The idea that you can be turned on or aroused emotionally way more than you actually can physically. Physical is just like, that is the manifestation of the rest of this stuff. For me, my partner, mentally, if we're connected, if I'm feeling close to him emotionally, that is the sexiest thing in the entire world to me. I don't care how great your body looks. She also talks about this idea of watching pornography and how it can actually be super healthy for you if you're consuming it with the right expectations, if you're viewing it the right way. And we are taught that it's such a dirty, dirty thing. But if you can understand that it's sort of a fantasy situation and not equate it to real life actual sexual encounters and not place those expectations on yourself or your partner to act as like the military guy or like the really hot dominatrix, like lesbian.
I mean, it was Veterans Day yesterday.
Well, in honor of Veterans Day. I think the book's really, really great, though.
I love
Sex Ed, A Guide for Adults. This is not a promo, but the book is really,
Maybe
really fantastic.
Maybe we can get her on.
Yeah, we should reach out to her, for sure.
All right, you guys, well, coming up, it is Thursday, and what I like to call my tired day. It's also checking in. Find out where we're at mentally, coming up in 2 minutes.
We take mental health very seriously here at Channel Q, so we set aside a little bit of time every morning for our segment, Checking In, which is what we're going to do right now, Michaela Gordon.
Yes.
How are we doing?
You know, we're doing okay.
Yeah?
We're doing good. I feel good. I feel like this should be your checking in because you've been going nonstop. And I think you don't realize you've been going nonstop. And then you had like kind of a mental day yesterday where you just needed to chill out.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
That's real. I appreciate that first and foremost. Before the pandemic, I was a motivational speaker. I would give keynotes around the country talking about, you know, the themes of my book, Flipping the Script. And I was really proud of that. And the day that the lockdown happened back in March, I lost tens of thousands of dollars of income in that moment. And from things I'd already had booked, from things that wouldn't be booked that just disappeared because nobody's hiring public speakers to come to conferences anymore. And so I had my first one yesterday. It was virtual and over WebEx, and it was with an organization I worked with already previously back. Remember when I first started here, I went to Bali.
Yeah.
Right before that, I went to Wisconsin, and I gave a
talk. Oh, yes, yeah, on my birthday.
Yes, same people. The same group hired me.
Yes.
And initially, we're like, oh, this is kind of a bummer, but the great thing about it was they were able to invite other chapters, other organizations from other states because it was virtual. So we had people there from Oklahoma and Wisconsin yesterday, which was really cool. I think I had some anxiety about giving this talk. I have no problem getting in a room in front of people and sharing my insights and my experiences and my story. But doing it over a computer where a third of the people actually turn their cameras on, a third of them you just see a phone number, and a third of them you just see a name. You know what I mean? The people who don't turn on a Zoom conference or whatever. And so that gave me some anxiety. And I did some exercises with them and some simple things. And one of the things I did with them, with this group, was I had them – we did some breath work at the beginning, which to me I was like, oh, that's pretty common. But I live in L.A. We do that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
For most people who are not in the entertainment industry or maybe they're not singers or performers, they don't do that sort of thing. So they were really kind of moved by that and it kind of set the tone for the whole talk. And then – I had everybody get up from their computers at one point and walk into their restroom or bathroom or a room that had a full-length mirror. And I simply had them say, you're awesome, and I'm so grateful I get to be you. That's it. I tell you what, when these attendees came back, one after the next would unmute their audio, and they would share with me, and tears just rolled out their eyes.
Well,
it was just wild to me that something as simple as saying like a compliment to yourself really hit people, and it drained me. I took a nap. I stayed in bed all day yesterday.
Well, listen, it should drain you because that is that's a lot of energy to take on. But I would like in this last minute before we you know cut to break and go on with our day for you to encourage people that are listening now to just go into the bathroom and say one compliment to themselves.
Yeah.
Because it sounds so simple, but it is a very emotional thing.
It's real and it works. I spent an entire year doing this. I wrote some I am statements, affirmations, and I printed them out and put them next to my mirror in my bathroom. And I would say them every single time I went into the bathroom. Every time I'd brush my teeth, use the restroom, take a shower, anything. And I'd say them out loud. Out loud. You have to say them out loud. So if there's something in your life that maybe you're just not sure about right now, you're feeling insecure about, you're feeling worn down, tired, or anxious about, flip it.
Yep.
And say it as if it's true. If you're feeling insecure about, you know, your future, literally say to yourself, my future is bright and I can't wait to experience it.
I love it. Compliment yourself. Uh-huh. Take that time. Love it. Love it.
It'll change your life.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, somebody else who's changing my life is Dolly Parton. And she is just one of the celebrities announced to be doing the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. We have all the details coming up on What's Poppin'. Brought to you by California Psychics. Coming up next.
Unlike some people who have already started putting up their Christmas tree, Michaela Gordon, I like to take the time between Halloween and Christmas to celebrate a little thing called Thanksgiving because it's important.
Oh, whatever. And your boyfriend texted me last night and he wants to put that tree up, honey, and we're going to get that tree up whether you like it or not.
And where is it? Still in storage in my cousin Lindy's basement.
Here's the problem. I love that it's in your cousin's basement.
But every
basement.
Thanksgiving morning, I start my day. I start baking my apple pie from scratch. I make my broccoli casserole. And I enjoy,
yum.
Yes, so good, family tradition. And then I enjoy the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I usually have a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It's my tradition. I was concerned, though, that this year the parade might not happen because of the pandemic. I know that Macy's is not bringing Santa Clauses to their stores for the first time in over 100 years, which broke my heart because I still kind of believe that's a different discussion. But you do have an update for us in What's Poppin' brought to you by California Psychics.
That I do.
Go
All right, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is absolutely still happening. But it's like, you know, the way that things have just been going on during this pandemic.
COVID-ified.
They're
going to
have, exactly. Uh-huh. They're going to have balloons. It's the 94th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The 94th, if you can imagine.
I remember the first like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good. They've really come a long way.
But one of the big performers is Dolly Parton.
Okay.
And we love to see it. So everything will obviously be virtual. Now, New Yorkers are used to standing outside. Let me tell you something. I would love to be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but I would not stand outside and watch it. It is too cold.
I lived there.
I think this is better.
I lived in New York City for 1 year, and I told myself, I'm going to go to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I'm going to the ball drop. Reality, by the time October kind of comes and goes in New York, it's so bitter cold there, I didn't go near any.
Yeah.
I watched it on TV.
No, I think that it'll be better to watch on TV. Now, there's still going to be balloons, there's still going to be floats, and they're still going to see Santa and Broadway and all of the elements that they're used to seeing every single year. It will just be viral because that's how it has to be right now. And viewers will be able to see
I think you meant virtual.
What am I saying?
The way you interchange those words makes me so nervous.
Oh my God, I literally said viral. Like 3 times already.
Because of viral issues our country's having, it will be virtual.
Exactly.
There were 3.5 million people there last year. It's a 2.5 mile parade route, and 3.5 million people showed up. That's a super spreader.
Okay, well, somebody told me that for the Thanksgiving Day parade and when the ball drops,
mm-hmm.
people wait outside so long and are unable to move that they wear diapers.
No, of course. This is very true. So I work at Dick Clark Productions. They produce that. I do all their red carpets for them. But about a few days before I do the Golden Globes with them, they're in New York City doing the ball drop. Let me tell you off air sometime this funny, funny story about Mariah Carey the year she got busted for lip syncing her song at the New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Oh, yeah.
We'll share that for another time. But they get there and genuinely, they will stand there for 12, 15 plus hours. And there are no restrooms. You can't leave security so tight because of, you know, terrorist things and things. You know, they have snipers. They have such protection up in the buildings all around and so many police officers on standby that you can't come and go.
Yeah.
You get there, you stay, you stand for 15 hours.
No way!
No way. I would never do it. Well, also, American Idol alum Jordan Sparks will be performing. Maybe we can get her on the show.
I
she
love
just
Jordan.
Liked a sketch I did, so
we'll so you're
shot.
Basically best friends.
We'll give it a shot. all right, you guys. Well, this is brought to you by California Psychics. Maybe it's time to make a connection with California Psychics. Now, if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app and set up an account today. Starting at only $1 per minute, you will not be upset that you did. I loved my experience personally, and so will you. Now, coming up, a Vietnam veteran joins us to discuss the importance of Veterans Day and what it was like being a part of the community in such a controversial time. We're back in 2 minutes.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we're welcoming back one of our dear friends, Denny Meyer. He's a veteran who served in the Vietnam War. He's doing really incredible things now for veterans across the country from the LGBTQ plus community. And he shares with us this. We spoke to him yesterday for Veterans Day, and we thought it was so impactful that we thought we'd share it again with you today for anyone who missed it. He shares with us what it was like to rise up the ranks over his decade-long career in the armed forces all the way to sergeant as a gay man and how he feared for his life every single
Wild.
Step of the way. This man is truly, truly special, and we're so excited that he decided to come back and call into our show. So yeah. Stick around for that in about 15 minutes from right now. Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us in news on the beat?
All right, babe. Well, the U.S. keeps breaking records that no one wants to see broken. The nation reported more than 144,000 new daily coronavirus cases yesterday, the single highest daily count since the pandemic began. The country also saw its highest daily death toll since early May. More people are hospitalized with COVID-19 this week than at any point in the pandemic, and hospitals are running out of healthcare workers, which could cause some major problems. Now, the situation is particularly bad in the Midwest and the Sun Belt, and the Navajo Nation and El Paso, Texas are also being hit hard. So it's probably a good time to recirculate this recent guidance from the CDC. Not only can wearing a mask help protect others, it can also protect you. Wear your mask.
Well, this is really interesting because I saw the study came out the other day, this report from the Associated Press, that the 376 counties with the highest number of new cases of coronavirus right now per capita, 93% of those counties voted for Trump.
Wow.
And we're seeing it in my home state, too, in Ohio right now. My county, Mercer County, it drives me crazy. It terrifies me, to be honest. There are three counties that voted for Trump at a higher number than anybody else in the entire state, and they're also the three highest coronavirus counties in the entire state out of 88 counties.
Wow.
So it's a real thing. Leadership matters. Put a mask on. Ohio's going back into some lockdowns right now, and many states across the country are too.
Yeah.
So just stay safe. Put a mask on.
Just
it's not.
Do it.
I work out in my mask. It's not that uncomfortable.
And listen, I know, and for me, it totally is uncomfortable. I hate it. But
just get cute ones that match your outfits.
But listen, it's like a small thing that's really. Do you want to get locked up?
By
again?
The way, I have
no.
a new one for you at home right now.
A mask?
I think it's leopard print, I believe, or cheetah.
Yeah.
I can never tell the
yeah.
difference.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Thank you. All right. In other news, the Trump administration is still refusing to begin the formal transition process and cooperate with Joe Biden's incoming team. So there is now a stack of messages from foreign leaders sitting at the State Department that the president-elect can't access. A Republican senator has said that he would step in if Biden can't access the intelligence briefings by the end of the week. In the meantime, Biden named a longtime aide as his chief of staff. Though Biden has been projected the winner, there are still a few states that haven't called yet. Georgia, for example, where Biden is leading and where two high-stakes Senate races appear headed for runoffs, will conduct an audit of the presidential race, recounting millions of ballots by hand. I'll tell you what, that's the only thing keeping Republicans going. There's a few states they haven't called, and they're banking that they could still go to Trump and Trump could win.
Notice they're conveniently not challenging the results in Texas, Ohio, Florida,
anywhere
states that Trump won.
Listen,
why is that?
Our program director sent us the best video. It was video audio of, what was it, Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
We have the audio, actually. We can play just the hypocrisy of it
all. The anchor goes off the air, and she's like, what's happening right now? Like,
yeah.
She's like, what is this? It's over.
It's
understand.
Wild. Mm-hmm. Take a listen. Oh, Justin's pulling it up. Okay. No. Take your time, because I definitely surprised you on that. That would be my bad.
Surprise, Michaela had an idea.
Surprise, make it happen, Justin, now. Go on. Anyway, oh, you got it. Awesome, thanks.
Sore losers. They refuse to acknowledge they lost the election, so what do? They cry malfeasance, wrongdoing, criminality, fraud.
Democrats, more so than Republicans, seem to have a problem conceding defeat.
So that was in 2016.
Yeah, that was 2018. That was Trevor Noah. That was a different video than what you were actually referencing. But
No, I meant this one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Fox News anchor who was going off the air and didn't realize her mic was hot. And she was like, what's happening right now?
No.
That was another good one.
No, I don't know. I actually don't know that audio.
Yeah, she says to her co-anchor, she doesn't realize her mic is still on. She's like, what's happening? It's over. I don't understand why they're doing this.
Stop.
Why are we talking about this? And she's a Fox News anchor.
That's okay. Well,
the hypocrisy,
the hypocrisy is real. Mm-hmm. And what I was referencing was
the Trevor Noah stuff.
When it goes in Trump's favor, we're the crazy ones. And when it doesn't, they want to call us out and question everything.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. All right, let's get into a little weather. Justin, will you pull that up, though? Because I'd love to hear it for News on the Beat next hour. The Fox anchor. That's crazy. She's like...
She's wild. And she's like, I'm in a sort of weird reality right now.
Yeah, we all are. All right, well, let's do a little weather. It's going to be a high of 55 in Kansas City, a high of 82 in Miami, 61 in San Francisco, 73 in Phoenix, and 46 in Seattle. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
Please remember how incredible you are. Anything you put your mind to, you achieve.
Thank you.
It's true.
Thank you. Yesterday also was the biggest manifesting day in the entire year, and I'm sure the energy still rides off that. So if you're still trying to make things happen, go ahead and manifest today. It's a big day. Now, in Coming up, a Vietnam veteran is joining us to discuss the importance of Veterans Day and what it was like being a part of the community in such a controversial time. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Oh, that sound brings joy to my heart. With the passing of the icon Alex Trebek, a lot of questions about the future of Jeopardy right now. What we do know so far is that Jeopardy will be around until December 25th, Christmas Day. What a fitting way to wrap up his decades-long career on that show. I remember being a kid and watching this with my grandparents and getting every single answer wrong. But if I were to get one right, I felt like a genius.
Listen,
can you relate?
Everybody felt that way. My papa was a stubborn Italian man and literally did not know any answer. And when he got one right, you didn't stop hearing about it.
Like, for weeks.
For weeks. Mm-hmm. He would just really be so pleased with himself. But I'll tell you what, I feel like I don't even know if Jeopardy can go on. I feel like it's not going to be the same.
Okay, so I thought the same thing initially. And then I started to think about it, and I thought the exact same thing about The Price is Right. I could not imagine A Price is Right without Bob Barker. I couldn't imagine anybody else standing up there. I couldn't imagine a world where Barker's beauties weren't like at the front and center of everything, where your cats and your pets weren't being spayed and neutered, because that's The Price is Right I grew up with.
Yeah.
And early on, Drew Carey took over and things started to change. They started adding male models, which I thought was really weird, even though I'm a gay guy and I love me a male model. I thought it was weird. And now a few years in, I rewatched for the first time in a while recently because our Dr. James Simmons actually won.
He was on. He won a car.
He won an Audi or something, didn't he? Yeah. So they were doing an episode, their sort of comeback, and they were doing an episode full of frontline workers. And so I watched it and I was like, you know what? All of this makes sense to me now. It all works. I'm used to it now. So I think somebody can replace Alex Trebek. The question is who? Michaela, this makes me nervous. I hope this video does not go viral because Michaela Gordon, my co-host here on The Morning Beat, actually made a submission tape sort of to replace Alex Trebek as the host of Jeopardy.
Hey, it's Michaela Gordon, and this is my audition for Jeopardy now that they are looking for a new host. Lisa, ask me a question.
Right now?
Yeah, this is my audition.
Oh. I gotta get questions.
Ask me a question or I can't audition.
The preparation is real.
Yeah. Lisa failed me.
The largest women's event in the United States.
Just making it up.
Oh, that's good.
Was focused around a pro golf tournament.
Such a lesbian.
Black Lives Matter. Final answer.
Yeah, you have to say it in the form of a question.
What is?
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. No, what is Dinah Shore?
What is Dinah Shore?
But are you a contestant or are you Alex?
I got it wrong.
You're asking or you're answering. What are we doing here?
Turn the camera off.
Turn the camera off.
Turn the camera off. That's on our Instagram if you want to laugh. I'll tell you what.
Do you want to be on the show or do you want to host the show?
I want to be both.
It's not possible.
I feel like in order to be Alex Trebek, you have to know the answers.
That is true. Okay.
He knew everything.
And a couple people who would know the answers, who I think would be great replacements. Ken Jennings. Remember he went on that run a few years back and literally won. How many episodes in a row did he win? Like 40-something or something like that?
Well, he would actually be great.
He was on that show for years. He's only 46 years old, so he could be around for a while. Also, how many?
74.
74 episodes? How's that even possible? That's like half a season.
Okay, literally, he's already done the show.
Yes.
He's already hosted a show.
So
just let him on.
There's an option. Also, George Stephanopoulos. I think that's a really cool option. Like, he's smart.
I think that's cool, but I think that having Jennings on is cool because he already did the process.
I get that, but have you seen him, though? He does a show on Game Show Network right now where he's one of the panelists who has to outsmart the contestants.
Uh-huh.
And he's a little dry. He's not super entertaining, so I don't know that I think he's smart, but I think you have to have both. George Stephanopoulos.
He's got a personality.
He's married to Allie Wentworth. She's a comedian. And so he knows how to riff and how to like stay on top of it, which I think would be interesting. But listen to Alex Trebek. This was TMZ talking about who he thought should replace him before he passed away.
Mentioned to our producer not so long ago that the fellow who does play-by-play for the Los Angeles Kings, they should consider him.
Oh, my God.
What about a woman?
There is an attorney.
Laura Coates. She's African-American.
And she appears on some of the cable news shows from time to time.
So that's another option.
Wow.
She's a woman, and she's a woman of color as well, which
they
is really...
actually might go with a woman of color because we're seeing so much tradition sort of fall into.
It could be very, very possible. Yeah. We see a very intelligent woman up there leading. But Alex Faust is the he's the announcer he was talking about. He also mentioned Betty White at one point.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
She's like 140.
Well, you know, Nick Alvarez, who's over at K-Rock and our dear friend, we love her so much. She posted a video yesterday of outtakes with Alex Trebek, and he was so funny.
He's funny.
He had kind of a filthy mouth. He said the F word a few times, and I didn't know that. And to see him in the outtakes being so funny, well,
it's one of those things,
up a storm.
It shocks you. It's almost like back in the day when we first saw DJ Danny Tanner. What was his name? Full House. I can't think of the actor.
Oh, when he started doing, when you saw his stand-up.
Bob Saget. Yes, sorry. Bob Saget. Yes. Slipped my mind. When you first saw his stand-up after knowing him from Full House, it was so jarring because he's filthy.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the Alex Trebek.
But I like it. It makes him human.
It definitely makes him human.
It's kind of cool.
I think you're out of the running based on this list alone.
I don't think so.
But I would love to see you on there as a contestant.
Oh my! Could you imagine? I mean, it'd be entertaining. Maybe we'll write that in a script we're writing.
Yeah. Wait, who played Will Ferrell? Didn't he play Alex Trebek on SNL? What if he took over?
Something. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Can you imagine?
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, speaking of more reality stars, Erica Chain is getting a big old fat divorce, but find out what she's also requesting coming up and what's popping.
When I tell you Bang Bang is still such a bop.
Let me tell you something. It is a
bop. Obsessed. And then I look to my right and I see Michaela Gordon getting ready for our next segment with her bangs just hanging over her left eye like such a queen. It was a moment.
Well, you know, my hair is never done. It's always in a bun with coconut oil in it. But I had to get my hair done yesterday. So live in this moment. It is done. It looks fresh. It will look like trash tomorrow.
I rebuke that. You always look so beautiful. Now it's time for What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. And this one, I didn't see it coming. She's been a friend of mine for years. I've worked with her many times. Erica Jane in the news. What do you have for us?
Yeah, well, we've actually had her on the show as well. Thanks to your relationship with Erica Jane. She was lovely. We got her right in the beginning of COVID after she had to leave Broadway. She was really devastated. Come to think of it, we should have played that audio. But you know what? Why? Why would we? We're just radio show.
I was just texting her a moment ago, and she's sending me little heart emojis right now, letting me know that she's good and that she's all right now.
Well, there's a lot going on. She's decided to file for divorce after, I believe, 21 years being with her husband. And so if that's not jarring enough, this is kind of wild to me. She wants him to pay for everything. Attorney fees. She wants spousal support. So I said that to you yesterday because do you think it's weird that when somebody files for divorce, they should still get spousal support and they should also have the attorney fees paid for them? Because she's made a lot of money in the past couple of years.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because he's made a lot more.
Yeah.
He's worth a lot. And she's been with him for over 20 years and has supported him. You have to think, we've known her as Erica Jane. She's actually Erica Girardi. That's her legal name.
Yeah.
We've known her as Erica Jane for a handful of years now. There was a decade plus before that where she was just his wife. And he was making lots of money and she was supporting him.
That's
in other
true.
Ways.
That's
so,
true.
So I think that, and
21 years is a long time.
Also, he's an attorney, so I mean, he's got so many connections. I think that it's not abnormal at all to ask for those fees to be paid. But they will, like you said, she has made a lot of money though, not just from her time on Real Housewives, her performance career, Shoe Dazzle. She has a big collaboration.
Yeah,
with them.
I actually have some of her boots.
Best selling books, like all sorts of things. So,
okay, well then I have another question for you because you know her. Who will she date next?
Oh,
what's
gosh.
Her type?
I wouldn't even want to put that out there for her, but.
I think she'd go with like a young Latin guy.
I see her getting a really spicy kind of guy.
I do too.
I see her.
She needs somebody spicy.
Because she's spicy. And that's the thing. I mean, she's 49 years old, but she sure doesn't look it.
She sure doesn't.
And
she looks amazing.
I text her and I said, listen, I know you're going through a lot, but I can't wait to see your next act. Because you've got so much life ahead of you. Her soon-to-be ex-husband's 81 years old. I mean, she met him when she was young.
Yeah.
And I believe her love for him is real and will always be real, I'm sure. But that's and also,
listen, she spent her 20s and 30s with him and 40s.
Yeah, but this pandemic, though, has changed a lot of relationships.
Yeah, it has.
When you're used to traveling the world and doing your thing, you know, she was on Broadway. I saw her a week or two before the pandemic hit and things got shut down. I took my mom to go see her on Broadway in Chicago. And she was there for months without her husband.
Yeah.
And now they're living in the same granite multi-million dollar home. There's plenty of space for everyone. But it's a very different lifestyle than being on the road all the time.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, we'll see. Can't wait to see her next act. Like
well,
you said,
filming,
this was...
They're filming Real Housewives right now, so we'll see it play out, I'm
yeah,
sure.
We absolutely will. This segment was brought to you by California Psychics. I love California Psychics. I had my own incredible experience with them. But if you want answers on finances, relationships, family, go to CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app and set up an account today. Starting at only $1 per minute for new customers, that's CaliforniaPsychics.com. Now, coming up, we're joined by Ryan Basham on the Trump administration. They're definitely trying to stand in the way of Joe Biden, our president-elect. So for our segment, Red, White, and Q, Ryan Basham joins us coming up next.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, it's time for Red, White, and Q with one of our favorite guests, Ryan Basham from Stonewall Dems. He's the VP of Communications for them, and he always keeps us up to date on what's actually going on versus what we're seeing going on in the news. He has some really interesting thoughts as well, I'm sure, on Biden's cabinet picks. We're going to ask him about those, as well as Trump not conceding yet and what that actually means for democracy. Will it actually have an impact on Biden's presidency? So stick around for that conversation, Red, White, and Q, in about 15 minutes from right now. Before we get there, though, it is time for some news on the beat.
All right, people, the U.S. keeps breaking records that no one wants to see broken. The Nation reported more than 144,000 new daily coronavirus cases yesterday, the single highest daily count since the pandemic began. The country also saw its highest daily death toll since early May. Now, more people are hospitalized with COVID-19 this week than at any point in the pandemic, and hospitals are running out of healthcare workers, which could cause some major problems. The situation is particularly bad in the Midwest and the Sun Belt, and the Navajo Nation and El Paso, Texas are also being hit hard. So it's probably a good time to recirculate this recent guidance from the CDC. Not only can wearing a mask help protect others, it can also protect you. Wear your mask. It's easy.
Yeah, the coronavirus pandemic is disproportionately obviously impacting communities of color, but heavily impacting our Native American communities.
Yeah.
I saw a map, I believe it was Arizona or Nevada, the Native Nations, how they voted this election, overwhelmingly 80-90% for Joe Biden. They just don't trust what's happening right now, but they're being decimated right now. And I think it's really important that we leave no one behind. It's not who we are as Americans. So hopefully we'll get this thing under control. It's interesting to me, though, 140,000. When you look at it this way, I think a lot of people, to put this into perspective, a lot of people are saying 140,000 out of 330 million Americans. I'll take my chances. 140,000 a day, right? So they kind of avoid it, ignore it, like that it won't happen to me. But what if I told you every day we're going to give 140,000 Americans $1 million, right? You know every single person in this country would be paying attention for that announcement every single day of 140,000 names. They'd be holding their breath, thinking they had a chance every single day.
Yeah.
Yet if you flip it, nobody thinks the same way about the potential death that could come from this. It's just wild to me.
And the odds are so much worse for the lottery.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but people pay attention to those sorts of things.
People pay attention to what they want to pay attention to.
Yeah, it's wear a mask.
Period. And, you know, it's very much the Trump administration as well, the way that they're doing the voting fraud. In the places where they voted for him, it's not fraud. In the places where he didn't win, it is fraud.
Of course.
It's all over the place. All right, well, let's do a little weather. It's going to be a high of 66 in Vegas today, a high of 70 in L.A., a high of 55 in New York. Oh, it's cold. 75 in Palm Springs. That's cool for Palm Springs. And 84 in Houston.
Houston sounds cool.
Yeah, we're going to Houston.
Nice.
It's where Beyonce is.
How about a vibe of the day?
Fine.
She's not there right now.
But she was born there.
I was born in Ohio. Go try to find me there.
Listen, I am going to Ohio. Mama Kath, I'm on my way.
Yeah, as soon as this pandemic is over, she wants to see my hometown so bad.
A count of 10,000 people. I'll meet everybody there. I'm holding a parade.
Stop talking. Here's your vibe. Please remember how incredible you are. Anything you put your mind to, you achieve. I believe that for you.
I believe that too. All right, you guys. Well, coming up for Red, White, and Q, Ryan Basham joins us on who could be in the Biden cabinet and how he feels about the Trump administration obstruction. Should we be afraid that Trump can steal the election? Coming up in 2 minutes.
I just think it's an embarrassment, quite frankly. The only thing that... How can I say this tactfully? I think it will not help the president's legacy.
Do we really think, though, that Donald J. Trump has ever even considered the word legacy in his lifetime? I feel like he lives in the moment.
Oh, to him, he's an icon. He's leaving a legacy. To him, he's incredible.
But his decisions tend to be very spur of the moment in whatever serves him in that exact moment. That is President-elect Joe Biden talking yesterday about President Trump's refusal to concede and allow his transition team to move forward. Here for Red, White, and Q, once again, one of our favorite guest political analysts, Ryan Basham.
I'm your favorite?
Hey, cute.
I said one of our favorites. Do not let Samuel Garrett Pate hear this. There's already a feud brewing. But what do you make of this? Where are we right now?
So, look, it's not up to Trump or anybody in his administration to decide to leave. When it's time for them to go, they get to go, either by choice or they'll be moved. The scary part for me is what they might try to break mm-hmm. between now and when they either leave of their own accord or are forced out, you know? Like, they're already restaffing the senior ranks of the Defense Department. I mean, who knows? Part of me is like, just start a war before he leaves office?
I could see it. I could see that happening. Well, there's a few things that I'd like to clarify with you, because, you know, I get tidbits of information and then, you know, you're the smart one. So I heard that Donald Trump is actually going as far as he thought that the Democrats were going to cheat. So he watermarked ballots and that's how he's going to be able to get the presidency back. Have you heard anything about that? And can he do that?
No, he can't do that. Elections are run by states, and in some states they're run, you know, imagine the state of Tennessee, for instance, has like 90 something different counties. All those counties have their own election process. So it's not as if the president can come in and decide, okay, state of Kansas, I'm going to watermark some of your ballots, cheat the system or find some other cheat in the system. The federal government doesn't get to do that. So it's not like he has that power. All of that is a big old ruse, a lie. I don't know, blame QAnon.
Well, good.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I asked that because QAnon has really started to take over the media. I mean, what was just something that we laughed at and scoffed at, people are now taking as like Bible. And now I think that's why we're in this position where we're hearing all these rumors and people are confused and they're scared, those people being me. And so I need to clarify.
Sure. Look, but, you know, honestly, when it comes to those kinds of things, the really extreme stuff you're hearing about, It's. I would assume that it's just crazy talk. The only thing that I would really worry about if I were you is what Trump could actually do before he does leave with the normal traditional powers he already has. Not any of the crazy conspiracy theory stuff, but he does have the power to, you know, initiate a conflict with a foreign nation. He does have the power to fire a whole bunch of people and then replace them with loyalists. He does have power to do stuff like that, but that's the extent of it.
Well, listen.
Does that make you feel better?
No, it actually doesn't. Okay,
well,
it doesn't.
One of his loyalists, his most loyal supporters, Mike Pompeo, United States Secretary of State, had this to say.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration.
Kind of arrogant. I don't know how true that really is, if you can really back that up. But you talk about what he could do, what Trump could do before he leaves office. Say he fires all of these people. Can't Biden come in and just appoint new people to all of these positions?
Sort of. It depends on the position. But the short answer is yes.
Okay.
So yes, more or less. It's more like, they could do a lot of stuff in these new loyalists he's installing could do a lot of damage before they get booted.
But why? Like, what is the long term? I'm hearing rumors that Trump's already planning the 2024 campaign. Like, what is the end game? What is the long term play here?
I mean, look, if you're Donald Trump, you're looking at your second act, and if you don't get to come back to the White House, you know, you want to make sure that your customers, the people, you know, funding your life by figure of the country and going to your hotels and buying your crappy steaks or whatever it is they're doing. So he's trying to keep them engaged, trying to keep them loyal. But so are all these other Republicans. You know, Pompeo, you know, people like Lindsey Graham, Senator from South Carolina, you know, they're expected to run for president one day, and they want Trump's base to follow them wherever they go. So even though Mike Pompeo is not stupid and he knows that there's not going to be a second Trump term, he's got to gin up that base, and he wants them to stick to him like they stick to Trump. That hasn't yet happened for any Republican, but that's what they're trying to do. So that's what this is. It's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, but a lot of politicians stuck by, you know, Adolf Hitler in the late 1930s too, and look where that took them. I mean, it's just
so
insane to me. What was that? I'm so sorry.
Most of those politicians that stuck with Hitler ultimately got executed or tried in, you know, international criminal court.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I want to stay very hopeful. I think that's, I was talking with my friend yesterday and he said, I feel like the world is relieved. I feel like the celebrations that we saw in the street, people are now taking that, back into grocery stores, back into life. People are being kinder. And that's the most important thing for us. As of right now, while we're still like waiting on states like Georgia, is there anything else that we need to know?
The thing that we need to focus on right now is Georgia. You know, people who are 17 now, who will be 18 by the runoff election day, which I believe is January 5th, can register to vote now. So if you care about the direction this country is going in and you like this new, fresh sense of kindness and joy that you're experiencing, channel that into getting people registered to vote in Georgia and getting people to show up for the runoff for both Senate seats in Georgia on January 5th. And, there are lots of places online, like stonewalldems.org, to find information on how to get involved. But whatever you do, don't stop now. The fight is not over.
Well, I like where your head's at, Michaela. I like the positivity. Let's look forward. Speaking of looking forward, let's talk about Joe Biden's potential cabinet picks. If you want to stick around for just a bit longer, we'll continue this. Is that okay?
Let's do it.
More with Ryan Basham up next.
We are already beginning the transition. We're well underway. And the ability for the administration in any way by failure to recognize this our win does not change the dynamic at all in what we're able to do.
President-elect Joseph Biden. Gail likes to call him Joseph. Talking about moving forward, his transition team is well underway. He's already starting to pick members of his administration. He announced who did he announce yesterday? Oh gosh, Klain. Chief of Staff yesterday. Here to help us break it all down and to tell us what to expect. He's the VP of Communications for Stonewall Dems, Ryan Basham. So let's keep it positive right now. Joe Biden won, regardless of what Donald Trump says. And now he's starting to look at cabinet picks. What are you most excited about?
What I'm actually most excited about in this moment isn't the cabinet pick. It's that he appointed a transgender veteran to his transition team,
okay.
which affects the whole administration and is going to affect the way that Biden treats the military and every member of it in an inclusive way. But when it comes to cabinet, I'm excited. I really feel like there's going to be a Secretary Buttigieg. And I'm kind of hoping that he's going to appoint a Republican senator from a state that has a Democratic governor, so then that Democratic governor can appoint a Democrat, so that tips the balance of power in the Senate. That's kind of my, like, inside baseball.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So I've thought about that. How realistic a possibility is it that a Republican senator, a sitting senator, would actually take that opportunity if he were, in fact, to do something like that? And who potentially, have you looked at a couple of names across the board that could actually be a possibility?
You know, the one that I'm watching is Susan Collins, because I think she thought she was going to lose. I think we all thought she was going to lose. So she just won the election, but I would bet good money that this is her last term in the Senate, that she wouldn't run for reelection in 6 years anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and also that, you know, Collins and Biden are old friends. They worked together for years and years in the Senate. They know each other now. So I wouldn't be totally shocked if he picked her. And Maine has a Democratic governor.
Okay, right? I get so excited when you talk about stuff like this, because this is so nerdy, so inside baseball. But I've thought about this and I thought maybe I'm just crazy, but it actually is a possibility, because each state dictates how they choose their senator to replace differently, correct?
Correct. Mm. But most states, at least in the interim, the governor gets to appoint someone that gets to serve for a little while until there's time to elect a new senator.
Wow.
Well, I have a question for you. It's a story that we did earlier in News on the Beat, kind of different topic. The Trump administration is obviously refusing to begin any kind of transition. And now there's a stack of messages from foreign leaders sitting at the State Department that
looks like
Biden
your inbox on your phone.
Literally cannot Michaela. Have access to. It totally does. Like 3,000 unread messages, except I could easily read them. I just don't want to. How is that going to affect us and up into January?
You know, look, I mean, the consequences of the Trump administration refusing to behave as if they're on the way out and allow for the peaceful transition of power is going to have ramifications all across our country, all up and down the government, and ultimately all around the globe. You know, the Trump administration has already been using and abusing our international relationships for 4 years in a way that has dramatically diminished our power in the world and the way that the rest of the world views us. But this kind of thing sets us up to fail. And I think, honestly, I really do think that they want to set Biden specifically up to fail. They want America to see tragedy happen because they set a bomb, left the building, and then the Democrats come in, and then they can blame the Democrats for the explosion.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Let's say that happens. Let's say that Donald Trump does everything he can to set him up for complete failure, the new Biden-Harris administration. How do they overcome that? Like, how does he surprise him and say, because if there is anybody on this planet position to step into that you know, the White House on day one and get to work, that Oval Office, it's Joe Biden. He's been there.
Absolutely. Yes. That's the best part, is that all of these, you know, halfwits in the Trump administration who would like to see Biden fail, you know, are too clever by half. And contrast that with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the seasoned, intelligent, patriotic, capable people they surround themselves with. Biden was in the executive branch for 8 years, learned a lot about what works and doesn't, and has had time to reflect on what he would do differently as president, and now he gets to do that. So, yeah, they're going to try and screw stuff up for him, but he's smarter and more capable than they are. So, ultimately, I have a lot of faith in Joe Biden to pick up the pieces, however many they are. So, I mean, honestly, I do have a lot of hope, but I'm still paying a lot of attention and kind of on the edge of my seat. But ultimately, I think there's plenty of reason to believe that things are going to be better at the end of January.
Hmm. Well, listen, Ryan Basham, we appreciate you so much. Now, coming up in What's Poppin', very similar to America, American Horror Stories is coming out with a new season, and we've got the creepy poster to discuss coming up in What's Poppin'.
Somehow, Ryan Murphy, over the course of the last decade, has made himself a name in two genres that don't normally go together. He knows how to bring the camp world of like musicals and the world of horror together in ways nobody else has ever done. He's doing it again. American Horror Story is coming back, and there's a bonus. Michaela Gordon, What's Poppin' brought to you by California Psychics.
Okay, just shout out to Ryan Murphy. You remind me a lot of Ryan Murphy, and I lovingly call you that. But Ryan Murphy has this...
He's bald.
Crazy...
I have great hair.
He has this crazy ability that he thinks of these phenomenal ideas, and he really brings it to paper and brings it to life. You know, a lot of people have great ideas, but a lot of people don't execute it or execute it well. So now that would explain why it's season 10 of American Horror Story. The series creator dropped a similar one sheet. Also, though, for American Horror Stories, the upcoming Black Mirror style anthology spinoff. The show American Horror Story is not only going into season 10, it now has a spinoff. And let me tell you something. Black Mirror is where it's at.
So wild.
I feel like often this year we've been living in Black Mirror episodes, and to know that it's now becoming a spinoff of American Horror Stories, it's crazy. Now, Ryan teased on Twitter, we are doing 16 one-hour standalone episodes delving into horror myths, legends, and lore. Many of these episodes will feature American Horror Story stars you know and love. More to follow. Now, the poster that was released for American Horror Story Season 10 was features a pale-faced woman clad all in black, much like Rubber Man from American Horror Story Season 1. Only her face is cracked open like an egg to reveal a Black Widow spider weaving a web inside her hollow skull. That's disgusting. Gross. You know, I'm really excited to see this, but there's something really fun, too. American Horror Story Season 10 brings Macaulay Culkin into the fold.
I think he's
Did you know that?
I think he's so talented. He's having a bit of a resurgence. His younger brother's a great actor, but Macaulay's a really great actor, too.
Macaulay's a great actor, and he'll join the likes of Sarah Paulson, Kathy Bates, Leslie Grossman, Billy Lord, Evan Peters, Adina Porter, Lily Rabe, and Angelica Ross, and Finn Wattrick. Now, here's what
I love Angelica Ross is back.
I love her.
Come on, honey.
I also love this about Ryan Murphy. He gives a lot of people opportunity, but he also stays very, very loyal to his friends. I know that, I mean, he's put Sarah Paulson in literally everything that he's done.
Well, The Prom is coming out next month. I'm excited about that as well, Ryan
and
Murphy.
He did, isn't currently his, didn't he do Ratched?
Ratched. Yep, Ratched, which I heard is really phenomenal too.
That's Sarah,
Sarah Paulson.
Oh my God, Nurse I'm going to say it right now. What's the date today? What's the date? November 12th?
Yeah.
2020.
Oh gosh, it's my dad's birthday.
Oh my God.
I'm glad you said it out loud.
Okay, well, happy birthday, Dad. But on this day, I mark AJ Gibson to be the next Ryan Murphy, and I mark myself to be the next Sarah Paulson.
Fair enough.
And that means I will forever have a job, so get to work!
You know, little fun fact, you've actually seen this. I don't know if I've pointed this out to you. You've been to my cousin Lindy's house. We had my 40th birthday party socially distanced in her backyard. Right down the street on the corner of her street is the murder house from season one and then a later season of American Horror Story, owned by the ex-wife of DJ Paul Oakenfold. Remember that name?
Yeah.
His ex-wife owns it. They Airbnb'd it for a while. You could stay there, but I drive past it every single time I go to my cousin's house to see my little nephews.
Manifesting.
Terrifying.
Way to go. All right, well, this segment was brought to you by California Psychics. Maybe it's time to make a connection, and that's why I'm encouraging you to go to californiapsychics.com or download the app for free. Whether you have questions or just need advice or even somebody to talk to, we get it. We're in a pandemic. It's a stressful time. No one's judging you. Just go to californiapsychics.com. Now, coming up in our final hour, it is Therapy Thursdays. As more adults move in with their parents due to the pandemic, our therapist James Gay gives advice on navigating complicated relationships while trapped in small spaces with loved ones. Coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat for Therapy Thursdays. This week, we've got our psychotherapist or marriage and family therapist, James Gay, joining us in about 15 minutes. Having a conversation about an article we saw earlier this week saying that it was like 52%, I believe, of people under the age of 30 are moving back in with their family, with their parents because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate that? So many of us try to just hang on till our 18th birthday or till the day we graduate high school so we can get out and never look back.
Oh, yeah.
But what if you have to look back? What if it's your only option? So James Gay has got some advice for anybody in a similar situation, whether you've moved home or had children move home, or maybe you're just living in a tight space with people who maybe you were able to get away from in the past for some peace of mind and you can't right now. How do you navigate that through a pandemic? We're having that conversation in 15 minutes, so make sure you stick around for that. Michaela Gordon, what's going on in news on the beats?
All right, guys. Well, Tropical Storm Meta has made its fourth landfall on the northwest coast of Florida. It's continuing to weaken as it moves north, but some areas of Florida and coastal Georgia could still see tropical storm conditions. Western Florida already got hit with the tropical storm force winds and heavy rain for much of yesterday, while officials in some communities have been responding to reports of blown off roofs and flooded streets. More than 15,000 Floridians are without power as of this morning. The storm is expected to dissipate over the Atlantic Ocean by the weekend. Now, this year has seen especially active hurricane season, and a new study finds that as the planet heats up, hurricanes are maintaining their strength for much longer after landfall. That's tough. Florida and Georgia.
You know what we're seeing? I want to make a Florida-Georgia line joke right there, but it felt inappropriate.
Yeah, you want to give it a shot?
No, I'm not going to. They're really great guys, though. I've interviewed them.
One more try?
No, I will say this. I feel like as I see these stories and we keep hearing about hurricane season's worse and fire season's worse and all these seasons are worse, it feels like the day after tomorrow. Remember that book or the film?
Oh my God, I know.
The film? I said film, Justin. A film and a movie are the same thing. I say film and he says it's a movie.
You said book.
And then I said film.
Yeah.
Calm down, Justin. Turn your mic off. But Jake Gyllenhaal, great film. But also, now as we live through this, I'm like, those are the
things.
It's
Groundhog Day.
That they said we're going. No, it's not Groundhog Day. We're getting closer and closer to the end, Michaela. There, I said it.
Okay, but also, I feel like it's Groundhog Day because I feel like every day we wake up to this news.
Oh, and you wear that outfit to work every day? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't.
Oh, sorry. Oops.
Listen, I wore this sweater for you. You like this one. You think it's cool.
I like your mesh sleeves.
Yeah. There you have it.
Doesn't do much for keeping you warm.
No, but I look cool.
Any more news?
Okay, fine, I will. The U.S. keeps breaking records that no one wants to see it broken. This is serious news. Now, the nation reported more than 144,000 new daily coronavirus cases yesterday, the single highest daily count since the pandemic began, which is wild to me. The country also saw its highest daily death toll since early May. Now, more people are being hospitalized with COVID-19 this week than at any point in the pandemic, and hospitals are running out of healthcare workers, which could cause some major problems. I'll tell you, I am excited to have this conversation with James Simmons tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. But my question, you know, I feel like more people are still staying in and wearing masks. It's interesting that now it's the highest it's been since the pandemic.
Well, I know Texas was the first state to hit 1 million cases recently. California is expected to hit 1 million cases any day now in the next couple of days.
I'm interested to see what's changed so drastically, though, that this is the biggest time for an outbreak.
Well, the weather's changing again. And they say oftentimes with these things that when it's a little bit warmer, it doesn't go away, but it kind of is held at bay a bit. And now it's getting colder here.
Yeah.
You know, I just told you I was feeling a little bit run down the other day. The weather changes, and I always feel kind of tired. And I think that's what's happening to people right now. I'm going to get a flu shot. I've gotten a flu shot the last couple of years. I didn't for many years, but I did a few years ago because my cousin had a baby, and she required it before I went to meet the baby. So I got a flu shot, and I've done it every year since. And Dr. James did tell us recently, at least having a flu shot could help your immune system to some degree.
Yeah.
How much, we don't know, but it's better to have it than to not have it. And, because we could be a while away from a vaccine for this thing. And you and I aren't getting it first.
No way.
Because first, we don't want to try it. But also, we're young and healthy.
Yeah, we don't need it.
You know?
We're good. All right, well, let's do weather. It's going to be a high of 55 in Kansas City, 82 in Miami, 59 in San Francisco, 73 in Phoenix, and 48 in Seattle.
That sounds lovely. 48 in Seattle. It always rains there and it's cold.
How fun.
It's a beautiful city, though. I love Seattle.
I do, too. I love Seattle.
Pike's Place, I think, is their market right on the water there.
Oh.
It's why Starbucks names their coffee that. There's a Pike's Place coffee
that you can get.
But also, they have these homemade donuts there that are amazing. If you ever make it to Seattle, it's a gorgeous city. Here's your vibe of the day. Please remember how incredible you are. Anything you put your mind to, you achieve.
Love to see it. Love to hear it. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, as more adults move in with their parents due to the pandemic, our therapist, James Gay, is giving advice on navigating complicated relationships and going back home after many years. We'll have that for you coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Now, Michaela and I came across an article yesterday on the show that said that 52% of people under the age of 30 have moved back home with their parents because of financial struggles due to the pandemic. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to bring on our marriage and family therapist, James Gay, to talk about sort of, all the things that come along with kind of going back home. Mm-hmm. And to do it in a permanent sort of sense is a big deal. James, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, James.
I am happy to be here with you both.
what is your first thought when you hear that number, 52% under the age of 30, heading home?
Yeah, it feels like a lot for people who live in the U.S. And it is. And it also seems like it fits the circumstances in a lot of different ways, whether it's, you know, wanting to sort of pull financial resources or take care of each other or be less alone. There's lots of different reasons that people are actually doing it.
This is pretty common in other parts of the world and in certain cultures here within, like subcultures here within the United States. But in many parts of the world, you just live with your family for much of your life unless you get married off and go away. And even then,
sometimes
the family stay together.
Exactly. Yes. Circumstances do matter. And, you know, if you're trying to figure out if it's going to work well enough for you, having some conversation about it in advance is going to make it much more likely to go more smoothly. It doesn't guarantee it, but having an understanding with each other about what that looks like, how much freedom each has, you know, what level of risk aversiveness each person has as it relates to, you know, self-quarantining and the pandemic and everything else and expectations, just sets the ball up in a better way.
Well, let's take, for example, somebody, maybe they're 28, 29, they're used to living on their own. They have to go back, maybe back to a very small town where things are very different, and especially under their parents' roof. can you set boundaries with your family that maybe were not set in the past? Or are you sort of at their mercy now that you live under their roof again?
Oh, that's a really tough one. And it's so dependent on whether or not those boundaries are actually respected, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing to set them. It's another thing to maintain them or to negotiate or navigate when they are stepped over. And that can be really, really difficult, especially for, you know, someone who's LGBTQ with parents or family members or friends that are not so accepting or quite frankly, sometimes rejecting, right? And that leads to a whole, you know, slew of issues as it relates to, you know, dealing with oppression from society at large, let alone the people that are supposed to love and care for you unconditionally.
Let's go there for just a moment. So say you are somebody mm-hmm. in your mid-20s, you are a member mm-hmm. of the community, and you have to move in with your parents again for a while. They're willing to let you come home, but of course, my house, my rules, you're under my roof, mm-hmm. you listen to my rules, and that's just how it is. But you don't mm-hmm. have an alternative financially. You kind of need your parents in that moment. What are some tricks mm-hmm. or tools or some advice that you might give to somebody who is in a situation where it's not really comfortable for them, but they need to find mm-hmm. outlets? They need to find ways to still express themselves and find their autonomy.
Yeah, that's super tough. But, you know, it can be things like having a community of support via phone, webcam, you know, online support groups, you know, Trevor Project. You know, there's lots of different resources for especially youth or younger age people in terms of supporting their LGBTQ-ness. And, you know, let's be honest, that oftentimes as much of a buffer as it is, it sometimes isn't enough to maintain our mental, emotional, physical health and well-being. It is super difficult to navigate when someone is, you know, intolerant or even rejecting of who we are.
I do want to remind all of our listeners that if you are one of those people who is in a situation where you do need to seek out help or you're needing just some guidance through your life, 1-866-488-7386 is the Trevor Project hotline. It is really fascinating to see how dynamics are changing and shifting right now, and conversations are being forced upon people because they're in situations now quarantined with people that they didn't previously expect to be quarantined with.
Yeah, it's tough. James, we appreciate you so very much for joining us, having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And listen, I think it's the most important to say, have grace on yourself. Don't be embarrassed. This is a really ridiculous mm-hmm. time. And we appreciate having the conversation with you. Now, coming up, 15 eye-opening things LGBTQ people were never taught in sex ed and how it could actually change your life. We're having that discussion back in 2 minutes.
Just that. We're going to tell you three good things, as a matter of fact, to send you off into your day with a little bit of... A little smile
on your face. Man.
How about this will make you smile. How about a good old-fashioned mullet?
Okay, party. Nothing makes me happier than a mullet, to
Look,
be honest.
Business in the front, party in the back. Joe Dirt, in my opinion, one of the greatest mullets of all time.
Icon. Joe Dirt, okay. Let's say, do this.
The greatest quote of all time was from that film. Do you know what it is?
No.
Life's a garden. Dig it. So good.
Well, it puts the lotion on the skin.
I bring this up because the 2020 Kids Mullet Championships were just held, and an 8-year-old boy from Texas was the most marvelous of all manes amongst the pint-sized competition. His name is, I believe, Jax. J-A-X. He's known for his classic curly mullet, and his father was so proud of him when the local news came to talk to him. Take a listen.
Kids in high school that we don't even know come up to him at football games or whatever, and that's just that's how they know Jax, to go, you know, this big and this show, man, it tickles him to death.
That is a proud father if I've ever heard one. So this went viral back in last month or so with over 20,000 votes and 50,000 social media reactions across Facebook and Instagram. He was competing against other young boys the age 1 to 14. He took home the crown. Let me tell you what, there are some doozies in here as well. And I know a mullet. I grew up in Ohio. I used to be a lifeguard at our local swimming pool, and I can't tell you how many mullets I would see on any given day.
You're wild.
This one's classic. He's a good one. He also has about 6 teeth total, none of them in the center of his mouth. He's adorable.
So cute.
I think we might put them on our social media. Go check them out.
Oh my God, please do.
We are Channel Q.
All right, well, tell me something good. I think my Botox just hit from Sunday's injections, and that is really exciting because I was wondering if my face was rejecting it. In other news.
Your Botox just hit?
I swear to God, you guys, I swear to God, it just hit. Like, you can tell when you can no longer lift your eyebrows, and I've had a lot of liftability, and I was PO'd. I was going to email Dr. Byrne and be like, not cool, man.
There it is.
It's here. Okay, in other news that's better for other people, the two black pilots are starting a nonprofit to encourage black kids to get into aviation. It's called Fly for the Culture, and it offers opportunities to black kids to learn about flying and change the percentage that only 3% of all commercial pilots in the United States are black, which is crazy. But one of the things that was said was, I didn't think that black kids actually grew up to be pilots. I thought it was just rich white kids, and they're changing that narrative completely. I think that's amazing. And I think that it's really important for all underprivileged communities to have an opportunity to do things that maybe they wouldn't be able to afford. Where I came from, if somebody had come to me and given me opportunities financially, it would have changed the whole dynamic of my life. I would have been an even brighter star than I already am.
Well, somebody else paying it forward right now, rapper Kodak Black spent $15,000 to provide more than 1,000 frozen turkeys for families in Pompano Beach, Florida. This is according to his attorney, Bradford Cohen. He's been in some hot water recently. He's got some legal troubles, but this is a good sign, a good gesture. He also includes some chips and sodas for these families who just want to have like a nice Thanksgiving this year but can't really afford it.
Yeah.
In honor of Jax's legendary mullet, I thought we could wrap up today's show.
This is what I wanted to hear.
A singer with another fantastic mullet, Achy Breaky Heart, Billy Ray Cyrus. This was iconic as well. Oh,
this is
good.
So iconic. I want to line dance. I'm going to line dance.
I did learn to line dance to this song at a place called Cimarron's in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, when I was 12.
Cimarron is a high school I went to.
Wow.
Lots of Vegas, 94.1 HT2. And on that note, we got to go. Come line dance with me. Get over here.
I will not.
Come over here now and line dance.
Not
and
happening.
Put your mask on.
Nope.
Take it off.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.